Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
And I'm Brittany Pacheco, and we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe film, The Marvels. But before Brittany and I share our thoughts on the film itself, I want to hit you with some Marvels facts. The Marvels is the 33rd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the third movie in Phase 5. It is a sequel to 2019's Captain Marvel, which grossed over $1 billion. And it's a continuation of 2022's Ms. Marvel and 2021's WandaVision. The movie was released on November 10th, 2023. It has a runtime of 1 hour, 45 minutes, making it the shortest MCU film to date. Box office, it didn't do very well. It made $110 million worldwide, $47 million domestic. It's the lowest opening in MCU history. And this is why it's, you know, really considered a bomb already. It's got a budget of $275 million, which is insane. Ooh. Now, I've seen that vary, but from what I've read, 220 to 275, you know, $220 million to $275 million, a lot of money. So,
yeah,
I don't think they're going to make a profit on this film.
Not at all.
It was directed by Nia DaCosta, of course, produced by Kevin Feige. The cast includes Brie Larson, Tiona Paris, Iman Vellani, Zoe Ashton, Park Zeo-jun, Zenobia Sharoff, Mohan Kapoor, Sakaar Sheikh, and Samuel L. Jackson. Brittany, what did you think about the Marvels?
So, it's no secret here on the Watchers in the Basement how I felt about Captain Marvel. Didn't really care for the movie. Definitely don't care for Brie Larson cast as Captain Marvel. I don't know. There's just some things that just doesn't work with her. Like, I love her in other movies, but for some reason, it doesn't seem like a good fit for her to be a superhero, especially in the MCU. Not sure why entirely. It's just how I feel. However, I really do enjoy Tiona Paris as Monica Rambeau and Iman Vellani. She's like probably my most favorite character in this whole movie. I think she's just wonderful. You know, she plays Miss Marvel. I absolutely loved her in the show, the Disney Plus show, Miss Marvel. It's a great like coming of age story. It's really cute. She's funny. There's so many things that I think everyone can relate to her because there's always, you know, you have that one fandom or you have that one thing that you really, 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 really love. And everyone identifies you with that love, right? Like for me, it's Harry Potter. Like everyone knows I love Harry Potter. Yeah. So it's relatable. I think she's great. And the very fact that Iman is a real life fan of the MCU comics and things like that, she's so invested. It shines in this movie and just in her acting as Kamala Khan, aka Ms. Marvel. However, this movie, I liked it okay. It's one step better than Captain Marvel for me. Now, I will say to the director, Nia, what was her last name again, Justin?
Costa.
Give it to female director. I believe she's the first African-American female director to direct an MCU film. And granted, the gross income or the gross... what do you call it?
just the profit.
The profit. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Like, I mean, that's still huge for a female, a woman of color, you know, who directed a movie. So like, shout out to her. Like that's awesome for her. I like the movie fine. I think it paced well. I mean, granted it was an hour and 45 minutes, which for me was wonderful. The overall story, I think, was fine. It was like how you said to me, it's the middle stuff that kind of just didn't quite land, especially one part that it pains me to say that I didn't care for. However, we'll get to that in a second. But the ending was good. The mid-credit was great. But overall, it was just an okay film. That's how I'll leave it. What about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with basically all your points. I was not a fan of Captain Marvel, the movie.
Right.
And this movie, you know, I think is actually slightly worse. Even though there are good things about this movie, there are fun things about this movie. I agree with you. Iman Vellani is the star for me. She's the best character. I wish the movie was built around Kamala Khan and Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
It would have been a better movie to build off the series and then to have Captain Marvel appear. I thought the overall outline of the plot, I like that. But like you said, it's all the stuff in between, because the overall the plot, if you like take the 10,000 foot view, you know, from above, you've got these three characters, Captain Marvel, you've got Ms. Marvel, and you've got Monica Rambeau. They all have to come together. They're brought together by their powers. They have these light-based powers.
Literally.
Yeah. They learn that their powers are entangled. And every time they use their powers, they switch places. It's really cool. The movie starts off strong. I mean, I love the beginning with Ms. Marvel in Jersey City. I think that feels like the TV show continued.
Oh, yeah.
Them using their powers is great. Then you have the fact that, like, Ms. Marvel is a huge Marvel fan, but Captain Marvel is her number one. She has these posters of her and Captain Marvel that get, like, these drawings. They're, like, BFF. That's, like, her fantasy is to be best friends with...
Twinsies!
Yeah, with Captain Marvel. So you have to bring those characters together. That works for me. And then you have the reunion between Monica Rambeau and Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. And that's interesting because what happened in Captain Marvel, the first film in 2019, you have, you know, the fact that we learned in Wanda, you know, in the first film, Monica Rambeau is like a 5-6-year-old kid. Her mother, Maria Rambeau, is like Carol Danvers' best friend. You know, it plays out. Carol gets the powers and, you know, then later on, we see in WandaVision, when we meet Monica, we learn that Monica was blipped. You know, during the blip, she was gone for 5 years. During that 5 years, her mother, Maria, got cancer and sadly died. And Monica comes back to the world and her mother's gone. And so it's interesting because, you know, Carol is like her aunt that she's been estranged from for 20 plus years or whatever, 30 years, I guess. Marvel was set in the 90s. So you reuniting those two characters, that stuff was great.
Yeah.
Of course, the final scene of the movie I thought was fantastic. The mid credit is great. We're gonna get detailed that stuff.
Sure.
But the villain, played by Zabi Ashton, who is Tom Hiddleston's fiance. I don't know if I necessarily blame her for, because a lot of the Marvel villains, let's be real, throughout the history of the MCU have been pretty weak. I mean, Thanos is. And Killmonger is great. And there's other, you know, there's other villains. I think even Wanda was a great villain in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, without a doubt.
The villains are pretty weak overall. So I don't like, it's, to me, that's highlighted more so than before, just because there's so much more in this movie that just doesn't work. And let's get into that. Like, let's talk about, well, Brittany, what do you want to, what didn't work for you in the movie that you'd like to touch on?
So on topic with the villain, who, like you mentioned, is the real life partner to Tom Hiddleston. Last Thursday was a really big day for the MCU in general, just because Loki season 2 finale dropped and the premiere for the Marvels dropped at the same time. So like these two, like power couple right now, right? Awesome. Happy for them. Love that for them. However, I don't think it's so much Zawi's performance as the villain. I think the villain itself was just not a strong enough villain in general. It seemed very random that, okay, sure, you had someone who was from the planet Hala that the quote unquote Annihilator, which is in this case Captain Marvel, came and destroyed their. I still don't fully understand what that was, that supreme something or other. It was,
it's like a supreme intelligence. It's like a powerful.
Oh, it's an AI.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Captain Marvel, for whatever reasons, because she was under, you know, doing the bidding of the Kree and, or whatever, she was told XYZ killed off the thing and therefore desecrating the planet, right? Planet is without sun, without water. It's in a drought and has unbreathable air. Right. So poor quality of life, just overall. if I'm not mistaken, Justin, I think that whole sequence of like that flashback to incorporate the villain, and I'm trying to remember her name off the top of my head. It's a very odd name too.
Darbin. Yeah.
Dumb. Sorry. It's a really dumb name. Darbin. Like, anyway.
It's Jar Jar Binks adjacent.
Jeez. Yeah. Don't even go there. But that, I think that sequence was a deleted scene from Captain Marvel, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But, you know, you kind of retcon some things or you try to, you know, connect some things. Cool. Great. Mm-hmm. It just still seemed very random that you had like this one person who, in a sense, wanted to take up this mantle of being like the savior of the planet and try to bring back resources to the planet. That being said, I feel like it was kind of like a lesser version of perhaps a Namor. I said Namor, Namor. Cool gun. Had to do that.
You just said that so you can do your impression. That's the whole point. Yeah.
I like doing that. That in my prototype of Victor Timely. So that being said, I feel like she's kind of a lesser version of Namor, because Namor came out to protect his home, right? That way there wasn't like an invasion and what have you. And he was just kind of like getting ahead of the game. Well, this is a result of what's happened to, you know, her home planet, Darbin's home planet. And she's using this sort of technique of creating like jump points to access other planets and their resources to make her planet healthy again. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of weak overall. Once again, it has nothing to do with the actors. It's always a performance in general. I think she was given what she was given. I know she ran lines with Tom Hiddleston. And honestly, I feel like it shows, because at one point when she visits the water planet, I'm not even going to start talking about that just yet, but when she visits the water planet, she tells their prince, kneel, and like kind of puts her hands out with her scepter in hand. I'm like, oh, that's full on Loki right there, yo. Like she got schooled in How to Be a Villain by Tom Hiddleston. So, you know, there was some essence there. Mm-hmm. But overall, she was quite a weak villain. Like I and at the very end where it seemed like there was a compromise between her and Captain Marvel, and it's like, you know, we're gonna save Hala and this, that, what have you. It's like, okay, yeah, great for Hala. And then she does a double cross. It's like, well, that was not a surprise at all. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty predictable.
Yeah. The thing is, the character's forgettable. I think the movie's forgettable.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the runtime, and I like the runtime on paper. An hour and 45 minutes sounds great to me. The mm-hmm. movie feels faster than that. And I think that this movie was probably 30 minutes longer, but they made a lot of edits because they didn't have a lot of confidence in this film. And so they were trying to like cut stuff and like, let's just keep it moving because we have some good action. We have Iman Vellani, and she's a star. Like, she's going to be a star going forward. Clearly we'll talk about the final scene here in a little bit. But they made it too fast. I think it was a little bit too quick for my taste, because it was like, it almost felt like that last Star Wars movie. What was that movie called?
The Rise of Skywalker,
which I absolutely hated. I'll never watch that movie ever again. I saw it once. I'm one and done on that. But you remember that movie, how they're just like hopping planets, like it's like nothing. Well, this movie is kind of that same way. It's almost like dizzying, because it's like, oh, they're going from Hala to this Tarmax, and now they're going to the water planet Aladna or whatever. Oh, it's Earth.
It sounded very like, close to Atlantis, like in terms of pronunciation. I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's spelled Aladna, but the way they said it was, you're right.
It sounds like Atlantis. It's
yeah,
weird.
It does. Yeah. So to me, like, it was too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So now, granted, like a movie that I did not really enjoy, adding 20 more minutes to it probably wouldn't make it better, but I think it would, like, I don't know.
A little bit of breathing room is necessary, especially when you're dealing with very complex storylines, such as dealing with light powers, because virtually these three women, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel and Maria Rambo, who, by the way, they're workshopping a superhero name for her throughout the whole movie, which I think is is really adorable, because Miss Marvel is just like gung-ho about it, like Professor Marvel, Dr. Marvel. She's like, and then it's like Vision. It's like, oh no, wait, no, we can't do that one. That was cute. But the three of them, they, like you mentioned, they all exhibit similar powers where they are able to adapt it differently. And even that quick explanation Maria gives to Kamala's parents, because as you mentioned, when they use their powers, they're switching places. It went by so fast. And I was like, wait a minute, what does Carol do again? Like, I understood what Maria's powers were. Monica's powers were. Sorry, I will get this right. Monica can see like the light energy and what have you. And then Kamala can use that energy and she more or less like makes it solid. Right. But I, even right now, I can't tell you what is that Carol Danvers does with that energy. I mean, she blasts the hell out of people, but
yeah
I don't know. It went by so fast.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. It's explain their powers is pretty difficult. I do think having them entangled for whatever reason is cool. And switching places.
That was fun.
Yeah. It was well done, I thought. Shout out to the, go ahead.
I was just gonna say their scenes together.
Yeah.
They played off each other, I think, extremely well. I think they have good chemistry amongst each other, but I think largely that has to do with Iman Vellani. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah. No, she's great. Mm-hmm. I just want to say a shout out to the chat. We've got Amber joining us in the chat, which we miss having you on the show. It's always great to have Amber on the show or in the chat. And then we have Raheeb. Yep. Always great to have Raheeb in there.
Yes.
Let's get to Raheeb's latest comment.
Mm-hmm.
About the Marvels, because one of my criticisms, Brittany, is I told you I saw this movie last Thursday, like right, I saw like the first showing I could possibly see it.
Yep.
I told you, to me, it didn't totally feel like a movie. It felt more like a Marvel, or I mean, like a Disney Plus series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a shot at the CGI. I thought the CGI was fine.
I thought CGI was fine. Yeah.
To me, it's just they did the same thing that Star Wars does on these Disney Plus shows where they just have these like sets that are definitely sound stages and they look like sound stages and the characters look like they're cosplaying in this movie. And that always takes me out of it because like, I don't care. You know, all this stuff is make believe stuff, right? It's all made up. It's suspension of disbelief, right? We understand that. But if the characters themselves don't look like they're real to their own world, it just takes me out of it. And when it's like people with painted faces and like, you know, like robes and stuff, and they're supposed to be this alien planet, never mind the other stuff about this planet. it just doesn't look good. And it looks cheap. And this movie was not cheap. You know, it's $200 million for the budget. So it's definitely not a cheap movie, but it just takes me out of it. What do you think about that?
No, I completely agree. I feel that CGI wise, like the special effects, the choreography, the certain sets looked better than others for sure. Coming back to the water planet, which is pretty much our main criticism overall with how the set looked, and then like the kind of cheap sort of cosplay, and then just what happened.
Well, let's get to that, and let's show Raheeb's latest comment, if you would, because I think
it's pretty on point.
He nails it.
He nails it. He says, they turned the Marvels into a Disney princess film with dance and music. And
you want to explain, Brittany, what Aladna or however it's pronounced, what that planet is?
So random, Justin, because the fact that this is a water planet. Okay. I mentioned earlier that Hala was without certain resources. They were in a drought. So that means what? They need water. You figure out a jump point to get the water planet's resource to Hala, right? Okay, cool. Fine. So the Marvels are on their way to the planet and Captain Marvel kind of like drops like a big surprise on the other girls saying, hey, so I'm kind of famous here for reasons. Like I helped them out of like a financial situation.
I think she said tax. I think it was tax.
That's financial situation. Like, yeah, still. Right. But
no, I know, like, but like
she's like, I'm famous. Like, I'm just letting you know. So she's trying to be like all incognito or whatever, but like the people are aware. And the weird introduction of this was the people broke out into song. And now I love musicals. Okay. I absolutely love musicals. I did choir for so many years. Yeah. I will randomly burst out into song during the day. Like, it just happens. This was a really strange introduction, right? And of course, you know, Miss Marvel and Monica are just kind of like, what the F is happening? But then eventually Kamala gets into it, right? She's having, you know, living her best life. Hey, yes, we're dancing. We're having a good time. And then you find out that Captain Marvel is married to the prince of this planet for reasons. And the only way that they can communicate is through song.
Right. Right. That's how they talk. They have to talk.
What? In
song. Yeah. That's how they communicate, through song, which sounds ridiculous. And it is. And then you get Captain Marvel singing back to her husband.
I was done after that. I was done.
But then 5 minutes later, they decide that, oh no, they can just talk like normal. Because
He's
bilingual, meaning he can just talk. He doesn't have to sing it, which I thought was like, you commit to everyone has to sing on this planet to talk. And then you just go, well, now he doesn't have to. Like,
also, so, why? Like, why was this the chosen direction to go into? Like, I understand that different planets and different people and they have different customs and culture. Okay, that's fine. That's also the real world. I think the goal that they were trying to achieve was to give Captain Marvel a little bit more substance. Like, she hasn't just been out and about like saving the world. Like, she's also human, or she does like normal things. And I guess normal people marry. Well, if Meghan Markle can do it, sure. Why not? She can, you know, someone can go marry a prince somewhere, but you know, it was just really strange that they decided to throw that into the mix. Very similar to just, well, we're going to create a villain because Captain Marvel came and destroyed a planet.
Yeah.
And this villain wants, you know, justice or whatever. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's really strange. It is
very strange. It's very strange to do that.
Now, I will say he did hook them up with some pretty nice superhero outfits, right? Like, they're not the Miss Marvel is slightly different than the one that she has back at home. Same goes for Captain Marvel. And I was about to say Photon, but Monica Rambeau, like, you know, they're slight variations of the suits that they normally wear, but hey, like, he came through. So good husband of the year, y'all. He came through.
But as far as like, so my guess on why they had this musical sequence, and again, nothing against musicals. Like, you told me to watch Hamilton a couple years ago. I thought it was great. And hey, if Joker Folie à Deux with Lady Gaga, if that's a full-on musical, I'm going to see the movie regardless. I'll probably enjoy it either way. Got no problem with musicals.
Yes, but Lady Gaga.
So here's my guess for why they did that. They had this sequence. One, I think someone thought it was funny. Two, I think they thought, well, you know what? We can just do anything with the MCU, which the MCU has done a lot of stuff. We're just going to try whatever. And three, I think kind of what you were saying is, not only are they giving Captain Marvel things to do, but like, one of the criticisms of that character, certainly my biggest criticism of Captain Marvel and Brie Larson playing the character, is the character, especially in her solo film, she lacks charisma. She doesn't like, it's the thing we talked about with Ahsoka. It's like, and it doesn't have to be it's not just female characters. Don't get me wrong.
Deadpan. Yeah.
But I think when you have all these like stoic characters, it's boring, like, and it's just not fun to watch. And so I think they were trying to like liven her up and lighten her up. Mm-hmm. And it's just so like out of left field and weird. And it, to me, it would fit better, like, if that was like episode 5 of, you know, the Marvel's TV series, I think it would be more suitable for what they've done on Disney Plus, then like put it in that movie. It just,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, case in point, shifting gears entirely, but look at what season three of The Boys did. They threw in a musical sequence, a dance sequence, and it was freaking amazing. It was so well done. But it just, I don't know, it works in certain instances. I just don't think it worked for this movie. Now, Raheem did say something interesting in the chat about they should have made the Marvels as a series or a Christmas special and then make Loki season two into an official Loki film. I've already said what I've said about Loki. I feel like it was better off as a series. If this movie, the Marvels, had been like what last year's Guardian of the Galaxy holiday special was, 45 minutes, you know, whatever, fine. If it was even turned into a series, like season two of Ms. Marvel, I would have been cool with that, you know, because I think this musical sequence could have gotten away in a series as opposed to a movie. But also just why? Like, why was it necessary at all? And you're right. This movie overall felt and looked more like a Disney Plus MCU TV series than it should have been a movie. Like, that's really sad to say, because Marvel has done some incredible movies in the past. And to that point, Raheem says, but this movie was a good thing for Marvel because now Marvel will focus on making Marvel movies rather than Disney movie. It's a failure to success, hopefully. You know.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. I mean, they obviously, this has been a rough year for Marvel with Quantumania not being profitable, you know, and being, you know, I mean, Quantumania, at least on Rotten Tomatoes, if you consider that site for anything, this movie is higher rated than Quantumania. Now, I don't agree with that at all.
I absolutely don't.
But, you know, with Secret Invasion was not good.
No.
And speaking of Secret Invasion, this movie just doesn't even just totally disregards Secret Invasion, you know,
to a degree. Yeah.
And the main character in Secret Invasion, this is another one of my criticisms. The main character in Secret Invasion was, of course, Nick Fury.
Yep.
And Nick Fury in this movie, to me, is so weird. He's like, he's so lighthearted and not like Nick Fury. It's almost like, if you told me that, like, at the end of this movie, we find out Nick Fury was a Skrull again, was someone impersonating, I'd go, okay, that makes sense, because it's just not the character. And so for the people who didn't like Love and Thunder because they thought that Thor was too silly or whatever, to me, Nick Fury is kind of sillier, even though it's like a, like, I don't know. What did you think of Nick Fury in this movie?
I don't think we got a whole lot of Nick Fury. We did.
When we got him, he was like, he was
kind of
happy-go-lucky, silly. Like, joke. Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, he was silly.
It was so strange.
It is strange because it's a very different version of Nick Fury than we've seen pre-Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, he was in the blip and whatnot, so we saw that very authoritative, like, come F around and find out sort of personality. But I'm sure something would have happened to Nick Fury's psyche because of the blip and then coming back home and seeing or hearing about everything that had happened. And yeah, you kind of need to, well, maybe not need to, but if you've watched Secret Invasion, you kind of get a better understanding about Nick Fury and the life that we didn't know about and his mission to help the Skrulls find like a new home planet. And that was the other weird thing, you know, the continuation of Skrulls in this movie. It was just like, okay, sure. Why not? Random, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And to your point about Love and Thunder, Ragnarok, let me backtrack. Ragnarok kind of really started that whole trend of, wow, like these characters, yes, they're serious and they've got like real stuff going on in their world, but they're still funny. Like you can have comedic moments and it can land and it can be good.
Yeah.
Love and Thunder took it up, you know, an extra level or an extra notch. Right. And yes, there were a lot of criticism about how, oh, Thor's no longer serious. Like, he's not that, you know, godlike anymore. He's just being dumb and because he's with the Guardians and what have you. And we all should know at this point, the Guardians are not my particular favorite movie franchise in at all. But, you know, it's just really funny that people are really, really critical about Love and Thunder, but seem to be okay with the comedy that's in this movie. Not to say that it wasn't good. I mean, some of it was actually kind of funny. And yes, some of it did come from Nick Fury, and a lot of it came from Kamala Khan's character. But I'm just curious, once again, like, what are people thinking? Yeah. And to that point, I've also seen criticism online about how people feel that this movie is told through Kamala Khan's character, because she is such a super fan of Captain Marvel, and how, you know, she's obsessive. She's like, oh my God, you know, I get to meet you. I get to work with you. And she's so excited. Listen, people, if y'all have a problem with Kamala Khan being around her hero and getting to work with her and save the universe, you have a problem with that. Do you have that same problem with Peter Parker and Iron Man? Because if you don't, I'm gonna need y'all to exit here and now. It's the same thing. That is her identity. Like, from the get-go, when you watch Miss Marvel, for God's sakes, her name is Miss Marvel. From the jump, you know she is obsessed with Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. Like, there's no question about it. Yeah. That's her identity.
Well, that's one of the main characteristics of the character. She's a super fan of the Avengers, but she's especially Captain Marvel. So, like, that's just who the character is. That's like, you know, Superman flies and he has heat vision. Like, if you take those away, it's not really Superman. Mm-hmm. So, but no, there's a lot in what you said. And backtracking a little bit, talking about the Skrulls, which to me, the Skrulls and the Kree and this, like, I mean, honestly, to me, it's reached the level of, like, I don't want to hear those words anymore. Like, it's like, I hate Sith. I hate this. Like, I like the dark side for, you know, of the Force for Star Wars, for my good movies. And then once I started using like words like Sith and labeling it, I hate that stuff. And the Kree and the Skrull, I don't ever want to hear about them again. But in this movie, one of the cameos we get, which was spoiled in the trailer, the final trailer for the movie, is Valkyrie returns.
Yeah.
And she kind of like saves the day in a respect that she finds the, she gives the Skrulls a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the very brief cameo by Tessa Thompson back as Valkyrie? She even like shares like a kiss on the cheek with Captain Marvel. Like, what did you take away from her, you know, I don't know, minute and a half on screen?
Oh, I love Tessa Thompson. I love her as Valkyrie. I think she just performs that role just beautifully. And it was kind of funny to me with that setup, because Captain Marvel says, don't worry, I have a friend. I know someone who can help you, basically. It never dawned on me that she meant Valkyrie, because I'm thinking, well, y'all met that one time in Endgame, right? The female team up, which was cool, which, you know, yay. But with that being said, it's like, I guess people would keep in touch. Y'all just finished saving the whole damn universe, right? Yeah. So it wasn't like a natural thought of, oh, well, she's going to call Valkyrie, because there's, you know, we've seen them on screen so many times, like they're super tight. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't feel like an organic sort of relationship, right? It just, again, this is one of those other things that's kind of like forced onto you of, hey, we're going to, you know, throw in someone that we think people will like. I'm sure with testing audiences, they're like, oh yay, Valkyrie, and it stuck. But I don't know, again, it was just random. Valkyrie coming in to save the day, to give the Skrulls, as you said, a new haven, what have you, to come to New Asgard. As we learn, Asgard is not a place, it's a people, which is fine. So at least the Skrulls have some place to go to, because with Secret Invasion, it was left very questionable.
The president of the United States in Secret Invasion is basically saying, you know, they're going to hunt down Skrulls and kill them. So,
yeah, very, very questionable.
Is that safe haven going to be in the United States? Because isn't New Asgard still?
No, it's not in the States. It's in Norway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Norway. Yeah. So that being said, it was nice seeing Tessa Thompson for sure. I didn't see the closeness that Captain Marvel was alluding to. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what about
so,
you?
So, no, I enjoyed seeing her, but like I said, her cameo was spoiled in that final trailer that came out, you know, a few days before the movie. And speaking of that final trailer, I really like that was a bad move by Marvel. It was a really like a desperate move because it was a total like bait and switch because really nothing from that trailer came to fruition. I mean, like I talked about this last week, but the final trailer for the Marvels, it like heavily hinted at that some Avengers were appearing in the movie. Now, I guess technically Valkyrie is an Avenger, right? So, okay. I mean,
Captain Marvel for sure is.
Well, no, but like they were saying like an additional Avenger. Like, right. They showed all this like Tony Stark and Steve Rogers footage. Mm-hmm. And the trailer even ended with like the Avengers theme song, which is very strange.
Yeah.
The only part that like, besides the Valkyrie showing Tessa Thompson in the trailer was they had a little tagline in that trailer where they said, be there for the moment that everything changes. And I assume they're talking about the mid credit, which we'll get to in a little bit, but everything else from that was totally just fabricated.
Subpar.
There was one part in the trailer where Nick Fury says they're here. And I don't even remember that in the movie. Like it was, because he's saying that sound like, oh, the Avengers are here, or I don't know who's here, but like, I don't think he even says those words in the movie, but in the trailer, he says that.
Was he talking about the cats?
Well, let's get to that. And Amber, I saw that Amber's back with us.
She is.
Yeah. So that's very good because whenever you do see this movie, Amber, I think you will enjoy the
kitties,
Flurkin scene. I don't mind cats. I like the Flurkin from the first movie.
Goose.
To me, Goose. I think this scene, and Brittany, I'm going to let you break it all down. I thought it was a little much, and it was kind of like really wacky comic booky.
Yeah.
And, Brittany, take it away. Explain what happens with all these little kitties.
So Goose, who we know from Captain Marvel, Goose is the one who gave Nick Fury the infamous scratch on his eyes. That's why he wears the one eye patch. He is a, say it for me one more time.
Flurkin
are the beings apparently that have tentacles that come out of their mouth and they can eat or just ingest whatever is in front of them.
They look like cats until they open their mouth and they have like tentacles and they can swallow things whole, even though they're like the size of a cat or a kitten.
Exactly. So, yeah, this orange cat is not to be messed around with. But Goose has been in the care of Captain Marvel. And eventually, when Kamala Khan's parents have been taken up to Sabre in space, Goose is also being reunited with Nick Fury, right? And then all of a sudden, like these random, like pod type things that look very questionable looking start appearing, I guess, like in their vents on Sabre, and like they're just multiplying super super fast. The people there have no idea what it is. They're monitoring it. They're trying to make sure it's not like some sort of bomb type thing from the enemy. Eventually one of those nasty little pod things hatches, and lo and behold, it is an adorable little kitten. And so that tells you that this is how Flurkins are born. And as I mean, cats in terms of their litters can be, you know, single to very many, right? This is very true in this movie because now we have a clowder of cats, right? And they serve a purpose, as random as it may sound. They serve a purpose where Sabre is losing power. They need to get these people evacuated from, you know, from space. They only have one escape pod to fit, I don't know, however many hundreds of people that are on the spacecraft. Well, apparently space cat distribution system, here we go, you know, Amber. the Flurkins go into action. These little kitties are chasing and hunting down these humans and swallowing them whole, because apparently they can hold multiple humans in their tiny little bodies, and it's easier to pack away cats into an escape pod than it is humans.
Yes. And those humans are not, they're not in danger. They're just, They're swallowed whole by these kitties.
Yes.
Only that's the way of transporting them to Earth. Their space station or Earth or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just so funny because even when Nick Fury and Kamala's family are on that same escape pod with all the kitties, you know, they kind of get jumbled around in space. They're spinning around in space. And if you do get motion sickness, yeah, you're going to probably start like, you know, heaving. This also rings true for the kitties, because then the kitties start dispersing individuals slowly. And once they crash land onto Earth, they're, you know, in New York, typical. Yeah, kitties are running around, probably still throwing up all these humans who are perfectly fine, right? But yeah, that was... I was just excited to see kitties, you know, given what we witnessed in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I was happy to see animals unharmed and being heroes. That's all I'll say about that.
It is a funny scene. I will say that the kittens are cute as hell.
Oh my God.
But I think it definitely is like there's two scenes in this movie that most people are probably going to have something to say about. One is the singing planet. Two is the kitten swallowing people whole to save them. So
it's just so cute. It's really cute. Raheef says they have a fourth dimensional space in them. That is where all the people and things go. Yeah, that's good to know. Because at one point there's one cat, maybe kitten, that is just kind of sitting like as a human would, like how I'm sitting, and then just starts spewing out everything that it's eaten. It's like a metal desk. It's, you know, books. It's just a variety of things. And it's just like, where does this go? But this is basically like, it's a Mary Poppins bag, but just in cat form.
Yeah. So it's wacky. I mean, again,
so wacky.
It's like somebody thought it was funny and they're like, hey, we can just do whatever we want. Let's give it a shot. They did it. You know, some people are going to love that part and other people are not going to like it. So,
I'll tell you who won't like it. If I ever watch this movie again, you get two guesses.
Yeah, I know your quirky Luna, she will not enjoy seeing all the kitties on the screen, because she actually pays attention to TV, which I've never seen a dog actually do that. But she full on will pay attention to what's on the screen. So
she does. Yeah. And even if I say the word kitties, she's like, where? Yeah.
She's on alert, high alert. Yeah.
Amber says, don't you know cats are bigger on the inside? That's not terrifying at all.
Well, these cats are definitely, it's pretty crazy. It's also worth noting that Goose, the ringleader of the Flurkins, is the reason why Nick Fury wears the eye patch. Because
I mentioned that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel scratched the eye. So interesting stuff.
But he didn't seem repulsed by his reunion with Goose. You know, it's just like, Goose! And, you know, getting little scritches, and there's some love right there. I'm like, I love that. I love that. Just don't get your other eye scratched, okay? Like, then we're screwed.
Yeah. So let's transition to the quantum bands, which if you watched Ms. Marvel, well, you know that Ms. Marvel, her powers are derived from this. Now, in the Ms. Marvel series, it's called the Bangle, right? That's it's passed down from her grandmother. Well, in this film, you know, she only has one of them in the series, right? So obviously there's another one missing. This movie, toward the beginning of this movie, the villain Darben and her crew, they discover the other bangle, which they call a quantum band.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the same like staff hammer thing that Ronan has, because she's also an accuser like Ronan from the first Guardians film.
Yes.
And so she uses her hammer staff, and she hits it with the bangle when she wears the quantum band, and then she can like punch holes in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, as you would expect, Ms. Marvel has one of the quantum bands. The villain has the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the villain is now in hot pursuit of the other one so she can become all powerful. Spoiler alert, she gets the other quantum band, and then she wreaks havoc in the fact that she tears a hole in reality. Brittany, what did you think about the quantum bands, and did they explain that stuff well enough?
Not enough for me, and the reason being, and I'd probably have to go back and rewatch Ms. Marvel on the explanation of the people that her grandmother, I guess like the planet or whatever their origin is from, because they do possess some sort of, you know, skills, magic, what have you. And yes, there are two Bangles, if you will. I don't recall an explanation as to why or where the second Bangle was, if it was mentioned at all in Ms. Marvel or not. Obviously, the Bangle that Kamala has, as you said, it came from her grandmother. Kamala is kind of like destined to have this Bangle and use its powers and, you know, be a hero. So also, how did Darbin and company find this other Bangle and know of its existence and know how to use it? You know, a lot of open-ended questions, right? And I know Amber in a different pod talked about how sometimes you just gotta have to accept things. You're not going to get an explanation, what have you.
Yeah.
But what I really didn't understand was how, I guess in the end, kind of in that final big scene with Darbin and the Marvels and they're fighting and what have you, Darbin gets both Bangles. She tears a hole in space or whatever, and the power is too much. It's kind of like one possessing all of the Infinity Stones and, you know, snapping or whatever, it's gonna like disintegrate you. Well, it killed her, obviously.
Yeah.
So then they're like left in space, right? They're left floating around and what have you. They are retrieved. Kamala uses them to, along with Captain Marvel's powers, to help close the tear as Monica Rambeau is on the other side to generate her power to, you know, close it from the other side. Spoiler, she gets lost. And then at the very end, like, Kamala is just seen with the one Bangle. I'm like, well, what happened to the other one? What did you do with it? Like, did you just leave it in space for someone else to find? Or like, I don't.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of loose ends when it came down to the Bangles.
Right. But yeah, as you were saying, they basically take Captain Marvel's powers, and with Kamala wearing both of the quantum bands, they kind of power up Monica to where she's like just a person. She's all lit up, basically, right? I guess that's what Photon, which is the character that she will become or already is. They just don't use the name.
Yeah, they're workshopping the name.
So she has to close the hole in the multiverse, she has to basically sacrifice herself, but she does it from the inside of the hole. So like she closes up and she's like now lost in this reality, which, you know, I thought, again, the overarching like outline of the story, I liked that. That was good. I thought that was a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. Of course you're like, okay, so where is Monica now? Cause she's obviously in a different reality, because whenever Darbin did this, Monica makes a statement of like, oh, this other reality is bleeding into ours, which of course in the multiverse, that could mean characters that we know from other film series. So let's go to the
No Way Home, right? The Peter Parkers.
Exactly. So let's fast forward to the mid-credit scene, and then we'll jump back to the final scene in the movie.
So
in the mid-credit scene, Monica wakes up and she's in a parallel universe, of course. Mm-hmm. And she wakes up and she's like in this hospital room and she sees her mom, Maria Rambeau. And she's like, oh, mom, it's so good to see you. Only she, you know, the person who she thinks her mother, who looks just like her mother, is like, I'm not your mother. Like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And we come to find out that she's actually in the X mansion and with the X-Men, because Beast, voiced by Kelsey Grammer, walks in and he's like studying Maria with Monica, trying to make sure she's doing okay.
Yeah.
And we also learn that, you know, Maria gets up and she's in a full costume and she is the character Binary. So that's her character.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Professor X. And then as the movie ends, we see the X-Men logo on the door. And so we're finally getting the X-Men. Although there's been teases before. In the Marvels, for example. Or I'm sorry, in Ms. Marvel, the TV series, we learned that
Mutant.
Yeah, Kamala is the mutant, and she's kind of like the first mutant, or at least
the first time it was uttered in the MCU. The word
she's
mutant.
The first mutant in the MCU, and whenever we learn that she's a mutant, they play a bed of music, which is the X-Men animated series. The na 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 na. They play that music, and then since then, of course, if you saw Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, you saw that not only was Maria Rambeau in that movie, and in that movie she was Captain Marvel, but we also get Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart in that movie. Yep. So, yeah,
we're getting more X-Men teases. And I think it's not just like a tease just to fill a void of something. I mean, it's going to play out. Obviously, with Deadpool 3 coming out, we know Deadpool is teaming up with Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman, who has been in all of the previous X-Men movies, whom I absolutely love. I can't wait for that movie, but I absolutely love X-Men. Like, I remember growing up on the animated show, and when the movie came out back in 2000, was it 99? It was 2000. I was so excited for it. I still love those movies to this day. First Class, I like the characters. I like the actors who portrayed the characters. It just storyline, which is like meh. But that being said, they're coming, y'all. And I think because the fact of what will play out in Secret Wars, you need the X-Men in order for all of this to like work out. Yeah. So I'm super excited that because I remember you telling me, Justin, that there was a mid-credit scene. So movie ended, credits are rolling. I'm sitting in my seat, and the scene that you just described is playing out. And I recognize Kelsey Grammer's voice before, of course, seeing his character, Beast, Hank Coy. And I'm like, I'm sitting in my chair and I'm like, no fucking way. Like, I sat up and just said that. There's only like 15 people in my theater.
All children, apparently, but unfortunately, they were all kids. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, there were some. Very annoying. Don't bring your kids to theaters, people. Just leave them at home. But that being said, I was super excited to see that, because it's like, oh, we're getting so much closer to X-Men coming into the MCU, and I'm absolutely here for it. I just can't wait, because even with Maria, I will get it right one day. Monica's,
I know. I wish they weren't both M's.
I know. Right, it's so crazy. Right, right. Yeah. With Monica's expression of after her mother, you know, dons the suit and she's like, who are you? And Monica's like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Like, you know, just like, she's like, I'm tired of this crap. Like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I thought that was a pretty, pretty surprising moment. Again, people have been wondering, like, because Marvel purchased the X-Men, the film rights from 20th Century Fox back in, I believe, 2019.
Yeah.
So they've had the rights for a while. I mean, they bought 20th Century Fox. So they reacquired the film rights to their characters. And people have been wondering, what are they going to do with the X-Men? And I think we all thought that they were going to recast the characters, and they probably will eventually. But it looks like the plan right now is for as many of the Fox X-Men characters that were created in that universe, we're going to see many of those characters interact with the MCU characters. And I think that's what will happen in Secret Wars. I think we're.
And then die.
Probably. I mean, I think we're certainly going to see, like, obviously Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, not only is he going to be in Deadpool 3, but he'll probably be in Secret Wars. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see, like, will it be like Avengers versus X-Men? Like, cause that would be kind of cool.
That would be great. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's actually a good idea, because then, like, what they could do is after Secret Wars, they could just recast
everybody
or the whole, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, who knows when we'll even get Secret Wars. It's supposedly going to be 2027, but I don't think that's going to happen. In a little bit, we'll talk about some other movies that have moved their dates, but pretty exciting mid-credits. You know, I feel like even the people who hate on this movie are kind of probably perked up when they saw that on the internet that, we see an X-Men character in the mid-credit.
Yeah, and it's funny because Beast in this mid-credit is completely CGI, whereas in the Fox movies, it was a suit, right? It was a suit with the fake fur and and all that stuff. But you know, again, the CGI, I didn't have a problem with CGI at all in in this movie. I think it looked good. It looked believable. And yeah, I mean, there were good things about this movie. There were some not so good things about this movie, but overall it was, you know, it was fine. But the other scene, Justin, that was fun and a very big surprise was the final scene.
Yeah. So the final scene of the movie, we see Kamala Khan. She is doing her best Nick Fury impression from the first ever Marvel mid-credit scene, which was in Iron Man when Nick Fury, you know, is in Tony Stark's home and he's like, oh, he's like, you know, you're not the only superhero in the world and we're going to start this Avengers initiative. And so what Kamala is starting her own team, which we can all assume is the Young Avengers. And she has recruited Kate Bishop, played by Hailee Steinfeld. We met this character in the Hawkeye series back in 2021 around Christmas time. And I'm a big fan of Kate Bishop. I think Hailee Steinfeld's great as that character. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, and the Young Avengers is something else they've been talking about for a while because there's so many of these like younger, you know, the kids of these Avengers characters that are out there. You just wonder like how quickly are they going to put this together? Because even in this scene, you know, Kamala is supposedly like 15 or 16 years old, right? Or somewhere in that neighborhood.
17.
Okay. Yeah. So she's somewhere in that. She's like high school kid still. Yeah. Well, she makes the comment to Hailee Steinfeld or to Kate Bishop, and Kate Bishop's like, well, I'm 23. Like Kate Bishop is clearly not a high school kid.
Yeah. She's like, did you think you were the only kid Avenger out there? Right. She's like, well, I'm 23.
Right.
You're still a kid, child.
Right. And Kamala references, hey, did you know Ant-Man has a daughter with, you know, Cassie Lang, who's also like, you know, what, like in her early 20s or something, maybe high school age.
Maybe 18, north of 18.
Right.
So,
So that points to the fact that they're going to do the Young Avengers in some form or fashion.
Eventually.
Yeah, and I think you have to jump on that fairly quickly because these people are gonna age because they're actual real people.
I mean, yeah, that's something that they would have to move on quickly. I mean, Hailee, I think in real life though, she's not that much older than what her character actually is. I think she's probably in her mid-20s, so she's, you know, not, you know, too far off.
Yeah, I mean, they can definitely pull it off. Right.
I personally feel as a 34-year-old, I could probably play like a 20-something-year-old. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
You look really young. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. But
all those characters, all those actors look.
Yeah.
I mean, if you said that Hailee Steinfeld was 18 or 19, you go, that's believable. She's probably actually 25 or something. I don't even know how old she is. Yeah.
Yeah. She's, I think, like maybe mid, closer to late 20s. But then with the Young Avengers in general, so we have Kamala Khan, we have Kate Bishop. We have Cassie Lang. You also have, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but Ironheart.
Riri Williams.
Riri Williams. Yeah. She's also part of the Young Avengers. Eventually, spoiler y'all, T'Challa's son is going to be part of the Young Avengers. I believe too, Morgan Stark, who is Tony Stark's daughter, would be part of the Young Avengers. You know, they just kind of like have to age them up at some point. So I just don't know how quickly this is going to come into fruition.
Did you mention Wanda's kids?
When they come back, you know, well, when and if they come back.
Yeah. And then you have, from Falcon Winter Soldier, the grandson of
Isaiah Bradley. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that person is also one of the Young Avengers usually. Yes. So,
so the seeds have been planted. They've been slowly planting them in different shows and different movies and what have you. Again, it's just a matter of how soon could this come into fruition, and then how many are you actually going to incorporate into either a TV series or a movie or them teaming up with Avengers or in some other movie. You know what I'm saying? Like it's curious. Shout out to Raheeb, who did a little bit of research for us, says that Hailee Steinfeld is 26 in real life, actually. See, I told you she wasn't that far off from being.
We were close, 25 or so, yeah. That's.
Yeah,
we appreciate the help, yeah.
She's a youngin'.
Yeah. So, Brittany, is there anything else you want to mention about the Marvels before we move on?
I absolutely love Kamala and her family. I think her parents had some, and her family in general just had some great comedic moments. I think I love them as a family. If y'all haven't watched Ms. Marvel, just do yourself a favor. Give it a watch. Like, give it an honest effort watch. I think you guys would probably enjoy it far more than whatever critics and other people may have to say. Like, just find out for yourself. Like, critically,
that was like the most, I think it's the highest rated Marvel series.
Okay. I thought critics were pretty hard on it, but anyway.
No, I think it was the fan base, because there's all these like people who are like, MCU, because all these latest characters are all female, and it's like, oh God, like, just
like, why are we hating?
Well, like, I mean, to explain to those people, it's like, women are kind of important in the world. Without women, we don't have other people. So we definitely also need women.
Also, we tend to live longer than men, just so.
And, you know, half of the population is women. So, you know, like,
cheers.
Why not trying to tap into that market and maybe, like, you know, go for the female audience and make some money if you can? It's not a bad move, I don't think. And
on that subject, this movie, The Marvels, is obviously female led, right?
Yeah.
It was directed by a female.
Right.
I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure it has a lot to do with it, why people just either didn't go see the movie or just don't feel compelled to, you know, support this, what have you, because it's like, oh, well, female driven leads in movies and such, like, they just don't do well for whatever reasons. That's what people said about an all black cast. Right. And where I'm referring to Black Panther. And that's one of the most successful MCU movies, period. I mean, it shouldn't matter. Captain Marvel does to some people.
It was very successful. Like, it made it made $1 billion. So, like, now I know there's reasons, you know, it was in between Infinity War and Endgame, but still it made $1 billion. So, like,
Like, I think that was just like good timing, right?
No, I agree. But really, I mean, still, like, if you say, well, female superhero movies don't work because, like, you say, well, like, Halle Berry's Catwoman, which is atrocious, right?
Oh God, yeah.
Well, in the same, if you think that's really bad, which it is, in the same respect, you have to go, well, Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot was really good. Made a lot of money, critically acclaimed. Captain Marvel made a ton of money. Like, seriously, like, it made, like, there's only like one DC movie that's ever made more than Captain Marvel, and that's Aquaman. Like, I think the Dark Knight Rises, like, DC overall. But you know what I'm saying? For that character to make more money than any Superman movie, any other DC movie, that's pretty, like, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't go, well, you know, it doesn't work because of this. Well, but then there's examples of it working. And I think timing is also, like, while timing worked out in Captain Marvel's favor, timing did not work out in the Marvels' favor, because right now the MCU is, to a lot of people, it's down. Perceived to be down. I mean, it's not, the quality is not as high as it was 4 or 5 years ago.
And you're also having to learn and start caring for, like, new characters. Everyone still wants Iron Man, Captain America, so on and so forth. Yeah. It's, we've said it here many a times. This is a rebuilding phase. This is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
what it is.
It was rebuilding, but it was also expansion. And the expansion is really what hurt them the most, because they spread themselves too thin. They tried to make too much content.
Yes.
You know, in
supporting Disney Plus and movies and such. Yeah.
I mean, since 2021, think about how many movies and shows. I mean, there's been 10 different seasons of Marvel TV shows, and there's been, like, what, 10 or 11 movies. Like, it's staggering. Like, we're only in 2023. In 2 years, they put out a ton of content. It was unsustainable, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the fact that Marvel have now rebranded, or have branded a more grounded hero series, and that's with the Marvel Studios Spotlight, and those characters, while they're Marvel characters, are not going to tie into the big picture that is, you know, if it's Kang, or they're deciding to take a different direction, you know what I'm saying?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Like, Echo, that's what they say, for because that's the Echo series you're talking about. But I mean, Echo is connected to the MCU because
she
just
is
like,
yes,
just like how we met, just how we met Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series. We also met Echo in the Hawkeye series. So
yes.
And, you know, she's tied to Kingpin, who we also were introduced to in the Hawkeye series, who will be.
Yes, but what significance are they going to play in the bigger picture of, let's say, Kang or somebody else? That's the difference.
Exactly. But what significance will Shang-Chi play or Moon Knight or any of this stuff? Like, we haven't, it's not been, they haven't connected stuff. That's why all this stuff.
You're right. You're right.
Will we ever see the Eternals again? I don't know. Like,
I would be okay if we didn't, honestly.
Are we ever going
to see 7 movies and they haven't addressed the big old statue coming up from the ocean?
Yeah.
What the F?
That's the thing. They need to connect this stuff. And
they do.
I do like the fact that, you know, Kamala's putting together the Young Avengers and they're trying to connect it in that way. Now, when that movie comes out, who knows? Like, maybe it never comes out. Maybe it becomes a Disney Plus special or a series. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the best thing for this show. I don't, or for this storyline, but
I don't know.
You know, this movie, like, go ahead, Brittany.
I was going to say, Raheeb in the chat said, the most important question is, are Kamala Khan and Kate Bishop affected with the Sokovia Accords or not because they haven't signed it? Honestly, I don't know if the Accords even exist at this point, because the Avengers technically don't exist anymore.
I mean, I think we might learn more about that in Captain America 4 or Captain America Brave New World. So we'll find out about the Sokovia Accords if they're still going to be a thing in the MCU in that movie.
I mean, who's going to enforce it? Like,
well, Thunderbolt Ross.
No, he's being recast. But
he's by Harrison Ford to play the character in that movie, and he's going to be the president apparently of the U.S. of the United States in that movie. So we shall see about that. But no, it's good to point that out.
Yeah, for sure.
So like my final thought on the movie is, I mentioned before, the Marvels is the 33rd film released, and in my personal rankings, it's number 33. And
thanks.
The thing is, I don't hate the movie though. There's stuff that I enjoy about the movie. Obviously Kamala played by Mon Valani is the highlight for me, but overall, like the movie, like the plan was fine. It's just the execution of it maybe wasn't what I wanted. And this is probably not a movie I'm going to watch too many times again, but I think the most important thing for me was with these movies, and everybody has superhero fatigue and everybody's so tired of this stuff. I think if you go into this movie wanting to hate it, you're going to really hate it. No question about it. If you go in with an open mind and you kind of like this stuff anyway, you're going to find things you like. Overall, it just didn't hit for me. It just wasn't.
I had no expectations. Like, I honestly had no expectations. I didn't want to set myself up for expectations because I was going to feel some type of way. Yeah. And truly, changing that mindset of walking into any movie now, regardless of franchise, and it's like, okay, I'm here to hopefully be entertained, hopefully be told a good story. Let's see how they do. And I laughed. I kind of was shocked at certain points. And overall, I came out saying, like, you know, I like it fine. It's okay. It's definitely not top ranking at all for me. It's definitely towards the bottom. I will put it one, if you know, because this is a Captain Marvel sequel. This sequel comes in before Captain Marvel. That's all there is to it for me.
Yeah. And with Raheeb, he has another question, which I think is a good transition for us. He says, if Thunderbolt Ross becomes president of the US, then what happens to Red Hulk? Well, I think Red Hulk is actually going to appear in that movie.
Yeah.
And speaking of that movie, last week the MCU had a lot. There's been a lot of news the last few days, but let's go through our other news kind of rapid fire section here.
Yep.
Some movies moved back. They moved dates, and there were four of them. Captain America: Brave New World is one of them, but the first one to move back is Deadpool 3 was going to be released in May of 2024. It's now being pushed back to July 26, 2024. It will be the only MCU movie in 2024. And that movie reportedly is halfway done. Now that the writer strike and the actor strikes, none of those are over, they're going to begin filming again, hopefully soon. I hope they have enough time to give this movie the love and care it deserves, because I think this is like Deadpool 3 should be a billion-dollar movie, maybe more. I mean, I'm excited about this movie. Can't wait to see it. I think it will do well. But I want it to be as good as it could possibly be. So had they have pushed it back even further, it would have been fine with me. What do you think about that, Brittany?
I want to believe, you know, I want to believe in Ryan Reynolds. I want to believe in Kevin Feige. I want to believe in this whole bit, especially Hugh Jackman. And as Yesenia pointed out, Hugh Jackman can't sustain that workout regime. It's tough. I mean, the man, he's not 20 years old anymore, or 20. I think he said he was 26 when he was cast as Wolverine, you know, back in the day, right? He was a young man, and that's a lot. That's a lot for him to do given his age. And I know Hugh has had several bouts of skin cancer, which I'm sure weighs heavily on the mind and, you know, everything else. I thought this was the last of him, of course, when Logan came out, but this time period of Wolverine that we'll see happens in between one of the last X-Men movies and before Logan. So it fits, it makes sense. Yeah. However, if this is going to be his last performance of Wolverine, I just don't know. But with Deadpool coming out as soon as they're saying, I wouldn't be opposed if they had to push it back another couple of months, because they are continuing filming, as you said, or they're doing some reshoots of various things. Yeah. And stuff takes time, right? Yeah. If you want to make it good, you're going to put the love and care, like you mentioned, into it. And I am with Yesenia here. I need Deadpool in my life as well.
Yeah, me too. Because the first two Deadpool movies are in my personal top 10 of all superhero movies. I love those movies so much.
It was so good.
It's like just perfect. I love the comedy. I love the, you know, obviously the brutal violence. Ryan Reynolds is like perfect as that character.
So good.
And I can't wait for that movie. But you know what? If it means pushing it back further, I can wait, actually, because I want it to be as good as it can possibly be. And I do kind of trust Ryan Reynolds that it will be. I mean, I was talking about this with George the other day off camera. And I was like, you know, like even like Ryan Reynolds Mint Mobile commercials or his other products, his commercials are very entertaining. And like when you're watching YouTube and like if one of his commercials pops up, I watch his commercial. Like I'm so entertained by the dude. So, I think it's going to be great, but I want it to be as good as it could possibly be. So,
without a doubt,
if it's 2025, I'm going to try to keep on living until 2025 so I can see it. You know, like,
you're going to live, damn it.
Yeah, I will. Well, hopefully. But Deadpool 3 wasn't the only movie to move. Like I said, there were three other movies that were pushed back. Captain America Brave New World is now moving back to February 14th, 2025. The movie apparently is undergoing major reshoots. After the movie was tested, or it was shown for a test audience and people had a lot of problems with it. So we'll see. We'll see about that. Captain America is my favorite character in Marvel. So obviously I have a vested interest in that movie being good. So I'm looking forward to whatever they do. And again, if they need more time, take the time. I think
listen,
the best product possible.
Them changing the title from Captain America,
New World Order,
and to what it is now, Brave New World. Good change, because before it sounded really questionable.
Well, and also New World Order was the title of the first episode of the Falcon.
It was
Soldier.
So I understand.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. It's very similar to what happened with Loki. Hello, so it still doesn't read well. Given the state of the world that we live in, it just sounds a little questionable. So I'm hoping that with these reshoots that they're going to be done well, they're going to still make the storyline make sense. Hopefully it's just going to be done to the best of everyone's ability, actors, crew, post credit or post production stuff. You know, we can only hope.
So two other movies are also moving back. Thunderbolts is moving to July 25th, 2025. And then Blade is now going to be November 7th, 2025. I don't believe that Blade is actually going to come out that day. I think that's going to be pushed back even more because that movie hasn't even started production from what I've gathered.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be, that'll be 2026 or later. I would guess.
Give Mahershala his time, damn it.
Right. So with the movies moving back, there now will be four MCU. I mean, on paper now, there are four movies dropping in 2025 for the MCU. As I mentioned, Captain America, Brave New World, Thunderbolts, and Blade. But also, a movie in between those movies is Fantastic Four, which is supposed to drop on May 2nd, 2025. Again, I don't believe that movie's going to drop in less than 2 years because we don't even know who is in the cast. And speaking of that, apparently there's rumors that the
one.
Even the one, I'm not even sure is like in stone, right?
Really?
So from what I've heard, possibly at the end of this week, maybe Friday of this week, as we record here on November 14th, we're going to get the Fantastic Four casting news. Brittany, I have a reason why I think that might happen, but what do you think about that? Are you excited to find out who's going to be the Fantastic Four?
Couldn't care less.
Could not care less. That's what I thought.
Couldn't care less. Honestly, I didn't care for the version that had Chris Evans in it. Yeah. I definitely didn't care for like the remake, which had Miles Teller in it. I just don't care.
Well, sorry. I do care. The Fantastic Four are Marvel's first family. I think it's very important to, in addition to have the X-Men join the MCU, to have the Fantastic Four come in and be, they're going to be key players. So I'm actually looking forward to that. The reason why I believe that we could get that casting news this week, possibly, is that would be a tremendous like palate cleanser for the Marvels. The Marvels, like we said, has bombed. There are good parts about it. Don't get us wrong, but it's financially, it's going to be a bomb. And I think that they need some good news. And that would give them a bump to go, hey, guess who is playing Reed Richards? It's going to be Adam Driver or whoever. I don't know who's. Yeah, right. So
John Krasinski back.
I would like that. I would love that. I don't know that he necessarily wants to sign up for that. But I would be down for Jim from The Office being a Mr. Fantastic. So we'll
but
see.
Is he going to be mean to the magician again?
wait and find out. But don't be surprised if you see the Fantastic Four casting drop later this week. So check that out. We'll see
how it happens. How I view the Fantastic Four is very similar to how I view Guardians of the Galaxy. I just don't care for it. I've watched all of Guardians. I will be reluctant if I watch Fantastic Four, truth be told. I've seen every single MCU movie there is to date. That's even outside of, the MCU in itself. So, I take that back. I haven't watched all the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans and probably won't. But yeah, I just...
No, they're not bad. There's only two of them, so...
That's still too many. So, no. That being said... I'll let you know if I have any thoughts about casting. I'm very curious if they can get the casting right. I could be inclined to perhaps give it a chance.
Yeah, the one that Vanessa Kirby has been linked to.
Yeah.
To be casted. Yeah, to be in Sue Storm. So we'll see about that. I'm looking forward to that because I do like the Fantastic Four. In other news, also kind of in the rumor business, so I'm reading this book called MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios. It's an excellent book. Couldn't recommend it more. Somewhere in the next month or so, we're going to do a podcast talking about some elements from that book. But the book was written by Joanna Robinson, who, if you're familiar with her, she's with The Ringer and with the House of R podcast. Well, she's one of the three writers of the book. Well, recently she reported, she basically just talked about it. People aggregated the information, but she is saying that Marvel is likely pivoting away from Kang, given Jonathan Majors issues and the fact that the Kang Dynasty, which would be the next movie after those five in 2025, the Kang Dynasty likely won't be called the Kang Dynasty, that Avengers film, because they're likely pivoting away. Apparently the writer who was supposed to write the movie, who did write Quantumania, Jeff Loveness, according to her sources,
exited.
Yeah. He was told that his services were no longer needed. And it wasn't because of the failure that Quantumania kind of became financially, but he was told that because they're kind of done with the Kang character. So that is a bummer because obviously Jonathan Majors is so great as that character as we saw in Loki season 2, but it sounds like they're just trying to get away from whatever kind of personal issues and the baggage that from the fallout of his case, which probably won't be resolved until the end of the year. So don't be surprised if there's no Kang Dynasty. Brittany, what's your take on that?
I mean, I was giving Marvel credit for not jumping to a decision prior to the trial verdict being, you know, decided on, right? Again, I'm not saying Jonathan Majors didn't do anything. It's very likely he did. There's two parties involved. The other party is also has questionable history and whatnot. So I'm not saying nothing happened. Something surely happened. I was just hoping that Marvel wasn't going to pull a Warner Brothers and like part ways and come to a decision. However, this is a business after all, and they do have to kind of plan ahead and get ahead of it in the event that it doesn't go in their favor. It's a real huge disappointment if we don't continue to see the villain that is Kang because of the magnitude that we saw of the variants of Kang in the end of Quantumania. And then the performance alone of He Who Remains in Loki, right? If this is just one variant, I mean, imagine how Jonathan Majors could play these other variants, right? And I was just looking forward to seeing him. I think he's a fantastic actor, aside from whatever personal things may be going on in his life. I understand why Marvel is probably getting ahead of it and pivoting away from Kang. And I've even, as far as heard the rumor of Dr. Doom could be the new villain that will be the focus, which would, you know, come into play, of course, with Fantastic Four.
It makes sense. It would.
It makes sense. It's just, it is quite the disappointment because I really feel like Jonathan Majors has a lot to offer with the character and just how he plays it. And I was really looking forward to seeing him more in the MCU and have his movie, but alas.
I agree.
Alas.
If you wouldn't mind, pull up Raheem's latest comment about the Christmas special. So Raheem, Marvel is not going to have a Christmas special this year. However, the latest rumor is, we talked about this last week about how What If season 2 is supposed to drop in December. Well, the latest rumor, which still has not been, you know,
published,
confirmed, is that What If season two will start airing on December 22nd. They're going to air one episode a day until the end of the year, meaning that the season, like season one of What If was 9 episodes. Mm-hmm. So season two likely is 9 to 10 episodes also. So that's what I've heard. Again, it's not confirmed, but that's out there that starting December 22nd, there will be one episode dropped each day up until the end of the year. So something to look forward to. Could be cool.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. That's very different in terms of a daily release because either Marvel does a weekly release or in terms of Echo, they're just going to drop everything all at once. And to that point about Echo, Yesenia, Echo is slated for January 2024. 10th.
Yeah.
Yes. So whether it was intentional to maybe have it be like a Christmas sort of release or not, that's for sure when we are going to get Echo. And it's going to be all 5 episodes being dropped at once.
I really think that they are trying to clear the decks and get the stuff that's made or that's in everything that's in the process of being made is going to be made.
Yeah.
And I think with What If, I think because, again, it's like an anthology, it's connected to the MCU, but not really.
Yeah.
I think they just want to get it out there. So,
For sure.
I think if they do the one day, you know, one episode a day release in late December, I think that could really work well. People are going to be at home wanting to watch something, so that could work out for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So another news item is, so Brittany, you actually sent me a link to this over the weekend when it's just speculation. Now it's confirmed. Taika Waititi will not direct 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said in a statement that he will not direct it if it comes in the next 6 years. Apparently, Taika is very busy with, he still has a Star Wars movie potentially in the works that he's going to direct. Now, we'll see. We'll see that. I don't know. Like, I'll believe it when I see it, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But he's got
words are tough.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on, obviously. And Thor: Love and Thunder, while both of us enjoyed the movie and it did very well financially, it was not well received by a lot of the audience. And mm-hmm. so I think Taika was kind of being pushed out that way. And usually in Hollywood, the way to like nicely fire somebody is to go, oh, well, they're too busy to do the movie anyway. So that's kind of the excuse. Now, Taika honestly is busy, and he has a new movie coming out this weekend called Next Goal Wins. It features Michael Fassbender. It's a soccer movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It looks funny. It's got Will Arnett in it also. So I will check it out. Probably not in the theater, but I'll check it out when it's on streaming probably pretty soon. So no Taika for Thor 5, which, I mean, again, who knows when that's even going to be. But I think we will see Thor again. So
I do too. I just feel at that point, Chris Hemsworth is going to close that chapter on Thor. I think just given whatever's been going on in his personal life, he's also, you know, getting older, and I think he's shifted perspective of life and what's important to him. And I respect that. It's no different than, let's say, Tom Hiddleston himself decided to say, hey, I'm done with Loki. This was a great ending to Loki. It's been great 14 years, but I'm ready to move on to something else. Now, while I don't believe that's what's going to happen, it would make total sense.
Well, Brittany, funny you would say that, because my final news item is about Tom Hiddleston. Hiddleston was we talked about on our Loki pod, the season finale, how he was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He talked about, you know, how it was kind of the culmination of his 14-year run. But then today there was an interview dropped on the Phase Zero podcast, which I recommend if you like Marvel, definitely check out Phase Zero. Great podcast. They don't need our help, but if you do follow theirs. If you do follow them or comment on their YouTube channel, tell them the Watchers in the Basement sent you. Cause I think, I'm a huge fan of that show. It's been around for a couple of years. Brandon Davis is, they're the host of that show. He does a great job with all of his, you know, comic book content. So, give him a shout out, check out the show. Anyway, he got a chance to talk to Tom Hiddleston this week, and, he asked Tom if this was indeed the end of his run as Loki, and Tom Hiddleston had a great quote. He said that, you know, he thought he had said goodbye to this character twice before in the past, and alas, he was back playing Loki. And so he said it'd be unwise to assume it was the end of Loki. So or the end of his run as Loki. So that's some good news, some positive news. I think, again, Loki season 2 was fantastic. We talked about that
so in our
last podcast. So I think it was, that's really good news, and I'm excited. You know, hope is a good thing. So, I would love to see more Loki, and I think you're in the same boat, Brittany.
I love to see more Tom. Yeah. In any way. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. As we wrap up here, I want to, there's a question that Raheem asked a little bit ago about Chris Evans. Let's talk about that one. Yeah.
So since we are hearing about Marvel getting old Avengers back, do you think they will bring back Chris Evans as Steve Rogers / Captain America?
I do. I do think that I think he is actually more likely than Downey Jr. to come back. But I do. I think both are going to come back. I think they're both going to be offered a lot of money. There were some rumors a couple of years ago about how Marvel was working on a Nomad movie or series. Nomad is a version of Captain America after he gives up the mantle and is, you know, out on his own, kind of. So that could potentially happen, or they could bring him back for Secret Wars. That's probably more likely, but I think we'll see him come back. I think, like I said before, he had a great ending, obviously. So did Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man, but money talks, and also it's too tempting not to try it. You know, we all only live one time, and it's like they did something that's amazing. It's like Michael Jordan. Like, you know, like he had the greatest career ever. He ended his career with the Chicago Bulls, hitting the game-winning shot in game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals. he should have just, that should have been it, right? But you know what? 2 years later, it's like, you know what? I'm going to come back. Or 3 years later, came back, because why the hell not? You know, so like, if Iron Man comes back and Captain America comes back, or with Chris Evans, I'll be the first in line to see it, and I'll be excited. So I hope it happens. And I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to see Chris Evans again. So any thoughts on that, Brittany?
I would absolutely love to see Chris Evans back as Captain America, because that's America's ass right there. And I enjoy seeing that. But in all seriousness, what I said about RDJ coming back as Iron Man, bringing back any of these previous Avengers who had conclusions in Endgame, you bring them back, and while it's great to see them, their whole storyline and their endings are no longer special. It's no longer meaningful. And I understand we're in a multiverse, and let's say with Loki at the helm of the World Tree, he could potentially rewrite the story and somehow bring them back into these installments. Okay, fine. But like, yes, money talks, but you think about how much these characters meant to us and their stories. And you can just bring them back on a whim because you decide, hey, we want more money because we've been struggling. I don't know. You lose some sort of, for me, talking as myself, I kind of would lose some respect for everyone as and everyone and everything as a whole. Just because watching Endgame, especially on IMAX.
Yeah.
and seeing Captain finally wield Mjolnir and saying the line, you know, Avengers assemble, right? And then he gets his happy ending. Of course, we lose Iron Man. Cheeseburgers. Oh my God. So many emotions, right? And
your
then
shirt. Yeah.
My shirt. Love you 3000, y'all. Right. Like, come on. Like, so many feelings from that movie, that one movie alone. And then say, hey, let's bring him back because that's what the people want. Listen, I respect fan service to a degree. You're going to, they won't necessarily become mediocre characters if you bring them back. It's just, it's tough. Like, everything that they did prior to that meant nothing.
No, I understand that point of view, but I think these are characters that are from comic books. These characters never stay dead or stay gone for too long. And we're going to see these characters come back regardless. I mean, we're going to see someone else play Iron Man at some point. We're going to see another Captain America, obviously, very soon, which I think is very cool to have Sam Wilson's version. To see,
but that's
him
fine.
Take
that's fine.
The mantle. Right.
The mantle.
We're going to see another person play Steve Rogers, Captain America. Eventually, we're going to see another person play Tony Stark, Iron Man.
So this is how I feel about, like, the Harry Potter show coming on. Yeah. It's just, no, leave it alone.
How many actors have played Batman? How many actors have played Spider-Man? How many actors have played Superman? We're going to see all these characters again. I don't mind one last hurrah for these people that have.
Just don't do it in this, like, storyline, though. Don't do it, you know, like, but let years pass.
It's the,
like,
multiverse saga, so it can be anybody or anything. And
I don't want to.
You know what? As long as it's good, just make it good. And I think they will. I think
let me tell you what's not good, Rahib. I hope you're being facetious here. Since Loki series ended, you guys did a great job with the live stream and podcast. Do you think you guys can make podcasts for a live stream about Keeping Up with the Kardashians from Disney Plus?
The answer is no, because we don't keep up with the Kardashians. I mean, honestly, gun to my head, I couldn't. Okay, first of all, besides Kim, the other ones, I can't, like, put a name to a face. I'm not.
Sadly can.
Okay,
but I don't watch the show, and I do not support anything that has to do with the Kardashians. So, yeah.
And Kim, sorry. It's more of, like, not so much a name to a face; it's a name to other body parts. But that's for another podcast. And it won't be for our Keeping Up with the Kardashians podcast.
That's for our Watchers After Hours.
The Watchers After Dark.
After Dark.
Also, like, are they on Disney Plus? I didn't even know that.
God, I hope not. I think they're on Hulu, and Hulu is eventually going to merge into Disney Plus. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But short answer, no.
Well, we appreciate your support on our Marvel stuff. And we do more than Marvel. We're going to do some other stuff coming up soon.
But, we just finished doing Gen V. That was from the World of the Boys over on Amazon Prime. That was a lot of fun. Crazy, crazy show. And yeah, we do a lot of other things. We have upcoming pods. Actually, this is the last pod for the week, Justin, because next week we will be going on holiday break.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving. So no podcast next week, but we will be back the following week. I think we might be doing our final Harry Potter movie. So
we will
check that out. And then in December, we got big plans. There, we have a big MCU pod planned for December.
Very exciting.
Still putting that together, but we're really excited about that one.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun.
So check that out. So now that you know what we think about the Marvels and the latest MCU news as a whole, we want to know what you think. And Brittany, how can people tell us?
As always, we encourage everyone to participate in our live streams, just like Yesenia, Raheeb, and Amber did today. We appreciate all y'all being here. And for those who may have missed out on the live chat, we appreciate you checking out the replay, leaving your comments down below. But the way that you can find out about our next live stream is not only subscribing to us, because we are on the road to 300 subscribers. We're 10 away, y'all. 10 subscribers away from hitting 300. It's amazing. Thank you so much to everyone. Hit that notification bell as well. That way you know the next time we are going to go live. And also hit that like button here on this video. It gives us a huge, huge jump in reaching out to people and getting this little podcast known to others. So maybe if Kardashians mentioned us on their show, maybe I would be inclined to watch it.
If they were watching us on Spotify or on YouTube on their phone or something, that'd
be cool.
That would help us. And then,
that would help us.
And I'm all for the Kardashians. Like, I would keep up with them, but right now, not so much. Yeah.
Well, to the Kardashians and everyone out there, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as Threads at Watchers Basement. And you can also help grow our audience by using the hashtag Watchers Basement when tweeting at us, sending us articles, memes, things that you find interesting, things that you want us to check out. We'll be sure to incorporate that into our ever-growing list of things to review and talk about. And also, if you are not into our video podcast, that's totally cool, because we have audio podcasts available to you on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Follow us on those platforms and give us a 5-star rating as well.
Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate it. So for Brittany, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.